The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to this evening's action in Dundalk. It's a Friday, so what else did you expect? My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Dundalk's biggest fan, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Good morning, Mark. Are you okay?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. How are you?
I wonder if I am the biggest fan.
I think you're up there.
Yeah, put it this way, if anyone's any bigger than me, then I'd like to meet them.
Yeah, you're certainly in the top two, I reckon.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Are you excited about tonight? Is it a good card in your view?
Not overly. The early part of the card's a bit quiet, and then it does pick up a little bit towards the back end. I found the maidens quite disappointing here in the last month or so. We haven't really had any decent field, any representatives from powerful stables. Particularly the older horse staying maidens have been very weakly attended. Hope that might improve in the next few weeks before we get into the spring. Some of the better horses come out, but yeah, that's been the disappointing aspect about the Dundalk race in the last couple of weeks. The maidens have been quite weak.
Yeah, that's just down to the time of year, though, isn't it?
I would say, yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, let's get stuck into the action this evening then. The first race is the 5:45, and we start with a maiden over 6 furlongs, and the betting looks like this at the time of recording. We have joint favourites with Political Policy and The Big Cat, both 5-2. Acting Talent is 11-4. Count of Carabas, 6-1. It's 9-1 for Timely Call. Pacified Lady is 12-1, and 33-1 is El Zame. So we've got joint favourites this morning, Andy. How do you see the opener going?
Well, a lot depends on the market activity surrounding the Big Cat. I mean, this is a real intriguing runner in the first race, and the one that's going to kind of prevent me from diving in with both feet here with my selection, because you need to see how the market shapes up with Billy McCreary's 3-year-old by Footsteps in the Sand. The go-to jockey when most trainers require a pilot of some stature to ride a horse in a maiden like this is Pat Smullen, and the fact that Pat has been booked is certainly significant. They've obviously gone out of their way to acquire his talents. And Billy McCreary, obviously, you know, he's got some decent horses in his mitts on the flat in Ireland, and he's raided a few pots as well when he's come over to the UK, so he's a very good trainer. And he wouldn't take a great deal of winning this, to be fair. The two with form, Count of Carabas and Political Policy, albeit they're okay in their own little way, that they certainly wouldn't be setting the world alight. Out of the two, I prefer Political Policy, although I'm a little bit concerned about the drop back to 6 furlongs for him, because he looked as though he needed further than that trip the time when he got beat by Count of Carabas. It was a race that Wish You Were Here took care of on the 17th of Jan. And doing all his late work at the end was the Mickey Halford train runner. Subsequently, he stepped up in trip Political Policy, but then he got beat by Master of Time, who runs in the next race. Just think that was a very well-handicapped horse on the night rather than Political Policy running badly. So it's a difficult one for punters, really. He's definitely the choice, Political Policy. I'm hoping that he'll turn the form around with Count of Carabas this time. You've also got Acting Talent thrown into the mix as well. Michael Grassick's 4-year-old filly, who's had several decent runs on the turf, but we don't know much about her, of course, on the all-weather surface. So a nasty one for punters. No each-way angle in either, because there's only 7 runners. I'll stick with Political Policy because he's a figures horse at Dundalk. But it wouldn't surprise me if there was money for the Big Cat and that upset the apple cart.
Yeah, keep an eye on the betting then, really, isn't
Definitely.
It? Yeah. The second race then is the 6:15, and this is a handicap over 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds. And there's only 3 of them in the lineup here, Andy. But in saying that, it's still a tricky race because there's not much between any of them. Master of Time 6-4, Not Your Call 7-4, and Fight You For It is 9-4. So as the betting suggests there, Andy, you could state a case for all three of these, but which one have you fallen down on?
Well, I'm a fan of Not Your Call. I have ever since this horse ran here at this track course by the side of Balmont, and Edward Lyon has got plenty of horses out of that particular sire that have acted well here at Dundalk, and this one looks as though he's following in the family footprints. He managed to win on his full start. That was on the 10th of Jan. He won quite snugly as well that night. I actually marked him up as a significantly easier winner than the margin suggested. He beat the well-fancied on the night, Aidan O'Brien train Lone Star. Of course, runs in the 6:45 in the maiden, so we get a chance to look at that form if you fancy Lone Star later on. But I like the way the horse just toyed with his rival on that occasion. He just tracked the pace, and once at Wayne Lorden went for him, he found plenty for pressure. And I just think the way this race could be run could suit him here. I know there's only three runners, but I presume Master of the Time will be ridden exactly how he was last week, i.e. Ridden aggressively from the front. And the way that horse stayed on late on in the latter stage suggests he's going to be quite difficult to beat if he does get an uncontested lead. But inside that, I think Not Your Call will have the pace just to track him in behind. He'll have the catbird seat, hopefully, and he can get a bit of cover and perhaps come and do him for a turn of foot at the end, because he has got a good cruising speed. So it doesn't matter how fast Master of Time goes, you can bet your bottom dollar that Not Your Call will have the speed to go with him. And then it's all about that last couple of furlongs, who's got the best turn of foot. And for my reckoning, and on my sectionals, what I've got Not Your Call doing down the lane, I think he might just have a little bit too much boot for Master of Time. But that said, as you say, you can make a case out for all three. Of course, all three got headgear on as well. Indeed, Fight You For It might improve for the first-time headgear as well. He's got the visor on for the first time. So you've got the hooded Not Your Call, the cheek piece Master of Time against the visored Fight You For It. So certainly plenty of accoutrements going on here to help the claims of these three runners. But I'll stick with Not Your Call just because I think he's got a good turn of foot.
Yeah, all that's missing is the novelty glasses and cigar in that horse.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got a pair tucked away in your...
I'm wearing them right now.
I don't have to have novelty nose or glasses. I've got them already.
Right, we move on to the 6:45, then race three on the card. And this is a maiden over a mile. And we've got Lone Star, the 6-5 favourite this morning. Flare of Firelight is 5-4, and then it's 8-1. For Bobby's Heart, and 11-1 or bigger prices the rest. So we've got it priced up as a match, Andy. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Unless there's any significant support for Bobby's Heart, who ran okay with a bit of promise first time up in a Curra Maiden. So we'll obviously keep an eye on that one, particularly from an each-way aspect. It could be quite a tempting alternative to the front two in the market if there's money for it and it's around about the 8-1 mark. But as it stands, it's two horses who run really well here of late, Lone Star and Flare of Firelight. Probably similar runs in all fairness. They come out very closely matched on my figures. I got a 72 for Lone Star behind Not Your Call. Of course, we get a chance to look at that form in the previous race with Edward Larnham's charges running in the 3-year-old handicap. And we got Flare of Firelight, who ran to a reasonable standard, a 71 on my figures behind the Gerlines trade at Caminari back in mid-December. That was quite a decent race, actually, because I napped at Crafted Mastery on that occasion from the same stable. So it wasn't a bad run by Davy Watson's filly to finish only a length and a three quarters behind in fourth. She kept on willing enough for pressure without being overly punished in the latter stages. And I think she should come on for that run. She's running over the same trip tonight. And Davy Watchman, other than probably Gerlines and Edward Lyon and Mickey Halford, is probably the most dangerous trainer in these kind of races. He's got a fantastic record in maidens, and particularly if one of these of theirs is back. So I've got a feeling that these two might even flip-flop in the betting this morning. We bet 6-5 Lone Star, 5-4 Flare of Firelight, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Watchman filly went our favourite ahead of Aidan O'Brien's charge, and that's the way I'd go as well. Just think she might have a little bit more promise than Lone Star on this occasion.
Okay. The 7:15 is the fourth race, and this is a handicap over a mile. And we've got Akasaka at the top of the betting at 2-1, who likes it around Dundalk. Plenty of wins here, six wins, in fact, around Dundalk, and has better than a 1-in-3 strike rate around the course. The money, though, is coming for Equation of Time this morning, 5-1 into 7-2, and then 11-2 for Iron Major, Cool Athlete 7-1, Victor's Beach 8-1, 11-1. Or bigger prices, barring those runners. So Akasaka, a pretty solid favourite, Andy, but Equation of Time also attracting the money. So how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I consider why punters are getting stuck into Equation of Time. He's been a bit of an enigma for me, or rather that it should be more of a case of Garvin Gonnelly dropping a clanger on three or four occasions since this horse won over a mile back in October. Actually, I think it was September of last year when he finally burst on the scene in the first time hood. He posted a really big speed figure. And then, so you think, well, his best form ever at the track has been over a mile. Why would you run this horse then over a mile and a quarter on his next three or four runs? In fact, he went for a mile and a half last time out. And I said on the podcast about three times ago that this horse does not get a mile and a quarter, let alone a mile and a half. So it's been a bad bit of placing by Garvin Golovin. Now he's dropped him back to a mile tonight, and there's money for him. Now, you know, he could be very, very dangerous here because he has got some good speed figures. That third behind Cardinal Palace back in October when Payne Magnus was second, you know, at a really good race on the figures, he's probably the standout piece of form in this race. So he is definitely one to consider here. I could see why they're backing him. But we have the two big guns from the Edward Lynham stable to think about, or certainly he has anyway. And out of the two at the prices, I just slightly prefer Iron Major. I tend to go for Iron Major quite a few times here in these handicaps because I just think he's that solid that you can always back him each way with pretty much the confidence that he's always going to get you in the frame and get your return for your money because, you know, Akasaka is a fairly short price here and he's carrying the welter burden of 10-7, being a 0-90 handicap. Of course, he's rated 96. He has got Robbie Downey to take the 7 off, but there's not a lot between these two on many runs here at Dundalk. In fact, if you look back to Akasaka's penultimate start, he only beat Iron Major by half a length, and then there was only a cut of paint between them the time after as well, when they were third and fourth respectively behind Captain Cullen in a bit of a muddling, slowly run race. That race actually didn't suit Iron Major, and I think a stronger gallop will definitely help Edward Lynham's 7-year-old tonight. He was runner-up behind Deep Speed the time before. And with Casual Casualty in the field tonight, I think they'll go a decent enough pace to bring Iron Major's stamina into play. As I said, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him to actually go and win the race directly outright and say, right, he's a win-only bet. But he does pop up every now and again when he has the race run to suit. And if Ray Dawson can just get the timing right with him, he's got a better chance than most of collecting this prize. But as I said, I think that each way angle in here is definitely the way to play this race with Iron Major.
Okay. Iron Major each way then in the 7:15. The 7:45 is race 5 on the card. And this is Division 1 of this handicap for horses rated 47-65. And it's over a mile. And Lily's Prince is the market leader this morning. 7-2 favourite after winning over Course and Distance a couple of weeks ago. Stoichkov is 4-1. 15-2 for Lord Kenmare. 8-1 for Sweet Anathera, only exception. Merrymast is 10s. And then 11-1 or bigger prices the rest. A few of these fairly exposed, Andy. But at least Lily's Prince looks as if she could have some improvement in her.
Yeah, she might have still a little bit of upside attached to her here, which is not what we could say about quite a few of these runners. This is probably one of the weakest races here of the night. These 0-65 handicaps usually are, and this is definitely no exception. The thing is with Stoichkov, her main market rival here, his main market rival, is that he's the kind of horse that never really goes back-to-back because we've got enough evidence already in the form book because we've seen him run 32 times to suggest that he doesn't string two runs together. So Stoichkov's going to be a bit vulnerable here tonight. Whereas Lily's Prince, obviously, from nowhere, posted his career best figures last time out when swooping down the outside in a reasonably run race to get the better of Ronnie Ockt, fairly comfortably in the end, I thought, defying his market odds of 10-1. He's obviously going to be well backed here tonight to duplicate that effort. Whether he can, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine because, as I say, we don't really know enough of him to be absolutely dogmatic whether he's capable of repeating that. If he does, then he's, of course, the most likely winner against quite a few disappointing types. I see there's been a bit of money for Sweet Anathea this morning. Doesn't really surprise me that that horse has been attracted at a few quid because Thomas Cleary's mare often runs well in these kind of events. In fact, I actually tipped this horse last time out in the race that she was 6 in behind Stoichkov, but she never really got involved that day. So whether a step up to mile is going to suit her tonight remains to be seen. One at a bigger price as well, which I think might be worth of just a few small quid each way here in a bad race, is Elusive Gent. Now, Elusive Gent comes out of a strongly run race here last week behind Cool Athlete. Cool Athlete, incidentally, runs in the better class handicap in the 7:15, so we get a chance to look at that form. Providing Cool Athlete runs well, then there's a good degree of hope that Elusive Gent should go well, having finished 6 behind that horse last week in the best furlong per furlong time on the card. Doing all its best work at the end in the hands of Tom Madden. Shane Kelly takes over tonight. He's got a much better draw than he did last week. And I noticed that he did some good late work as well on his previous start as well, but that was over an adequate 7 furlong, so it looks as though this mild trip should suit Elusive Gent better. And 12-1 in it, like I say, in a little bit of a tricky old race, one I haven't got a great strong view in, he'll do for me.
Okay. The sixth race is the 8:15. This is Division 2 of this handicap for horses, 47-65. We're staying over that mile trip. And 4-2 on the field this morning, Gold Falcon, the 4-1 market leader. Phil's Wish, 9-2. Runny Oct is 9-2 as well. 6-1 for Cheers Buddy. Hillary is 13-2. 11-1 for California Rose, and 14s or bigger. The remaining runners, another open, tricky handicap, Andy.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It's like nailing a Blancmange to the ceiling this race, really. It was difficult as. Yeah, I'd probably go with Runny Oct, but only out of loyalty to the podcasters and to give them a selection here. Otherwise, if I had to play me joke, I think I'd pass this one over. He ran his career best race here last time out. From a tricky stall as well, thought Connor King did really well to get him into a challenging position, but he just got run out of it by Lily's Prince, of course, runs in the previous race. So again, another form line we can have half a look at, courtesy of a race half an hour earlier. And Wade Lorden takes over tonight. That's no disrespect to Connor King, but obviously a more stronger jockey could be the key. He actually didn't run too bad at the time before, when he was only four and a half lengths behind Misty Lane. He was certainly going on at the finish that day after he got outpaced midway through that contest. So there were some green shoots in promise in that run back in mid-Jan. And I just like the way his graph's going up here. He's obviously run well there. He's run really well up to a mile last time out. And he's running over the same course and distance against, you know, fairly weak opposition tonight. So he's got a good each-way chance, I'd say, no more, no less. 9-2. He'd probably do for me in a bit of a nasty race for punters.
Okay, the penultimate race is the 8:45. This is a handicap over a mile and a quarter, and we've got some typical Dundalk specialists in this one, and Seniman seems to be becoming one of those. Won over course and distance a month ago, and then followed up a couple of weeks ago as well, getting the better of Tim Joe and Little Arrows on that occasion. And Seniman heads the betting this morning at 100-30. The Ringies King is 4-1, 11-2 for Ningaloo Reef. Little Arrows is also 11-2, 13-2 for Tim Joe. Denny Crane 7s, Balmont Flyer 7s, and Shake the Bucket 11s. So who would you like for the 8:45, Andy?
Yeah, I like one enough in this race to make it my nap of the evening. That's the Ringies King, providing he can duplicate what he did last week when he was unluckily second behind the blinkered first time Attraction Ticket. In hindsight, going back to that victory by Attraction Ticket, it probably wasn't as big a shock as it probably seemed at the night. I must admit, it caught me unawares, but having seen what Attraction Ticket had done previously, it was one that rather missed the boat on. It had run 10th in a very, very good maiden hurdle at Leopardstown previously behind Western Boy in a race which is working out thunderously well. But I like the fact that these two pull well clear of the rest in a strongly run race. I haven't got many good circuit times here at Dundalk of late because there's just been so many weak contests that have been run at Dordle. But this one's a truly run event. They actually covered the last circuit in 2:01, which is more in keeping with the kind of times that I'm used to getting when we get a really good speed figure race. So this is the one I'm going to follow. The two of them quicken up really well as well down the lane. Ringies King actually ran 35.6 for the last three furlongs, which is very, very slick. You know, a mid-35s come-home time here off the back of strong fractions. You know, duplicates are a very good run. You know, some of the seven furlong sprinters can't do that kind of time coming down the lane. So this horse has got a bit of a boot finish off the back of a good pace. And they were well clear of several fancied horses on that occasion to suggest the form was really reliable. Ho-Ho, Little Arrows and Tim Joe were all well fancied, and they were brushed aside by the front two in the market. And as I said, if it wasn't for the blinkered first-time Attraction Ticket, you know, the Ringies King would be running here off a much higher mark and would have been penalised even more for a comfortable victory. So I think this is a good chance to strike while the iron's hot with Paul Flynn's five-year-old. He's around about 4-1 this morning, which looks a decent each-way price with the dead eight runners. They should go a decent gallop as well in this race. You've got Shake the Bookie, you've got Tim Joe, you've got Balmont Flyer, horses that have forced the issue before. So hopefully, if the race is run as evenly as it was last week, it'll play into the strengths of the Ringies King, and hopefully he'll come through and land the nap in the 8:45.
Okay, the Ringies King, then the nap selection for Andy there then. And the final race is the 9:15. We finish with a maiden for four-year-olds and over the extended mile and a quarter, and a tricky end to the card, Andy. So who'd you like for the lucky last?
Yeah, nasty one, really. Dead eight runners, so hopefully they all go and we can get a little bit of each-way activity into this race. A lot of these are disappointing, basically, Mark. Skillig being one you could filter into that category. Second behind Carvalis here the last day. Certainly sets the standard Brendan Duke's filling. She wouldn't be winning out of turn. Papa's Way, who finished in front of her on the third of Jan, has won subsequently. So she's the rightful favourite. It's just whether you trust her to get ahead in front or whether you think that second-itis is becoming a bit contagious. Harith looks the obvious danger from the Charlie Swans stable. Hasn't really hit the heights over hurdles that Charlie probably would have been expecting of a gelding by Jeremy. Of course, Jeremy, the sire of Our Connor, and one or two other notable horses, with the Glen, of course, being by Jeremy as well. So that's probably what they thought, but hasn't really done it so far over timber, hence the fact that it's going back over on the flat. Second behind Egyptian Warrior the last time we saw it on the level, when trained by Andrew Oliver. So if you can duplicate that form, has got a chance. The obvious each-way horse is Catchy Lass. For all of you that like a bit of each-way thievery and to put a horse in some each-way doubles, then look no further than Anthony Mulholland's five-year-old mare, who has run consistently well at this track on numerous occasions, last of which was third behind the hitherto rated 97 horse of trained by Edna Brian Heirloom, of course, won a listed race at the Curragh on its last start on the flat. So a repeat of that would see it certainly be in the first three. Breathe Easy would be one at a very big price as well, just to keep an eye on if there's any money for it. Sabrina Harty's four-year ran quite encouragingly in a decent maiden at Leopardstown towards the back end. I don't think that one's without hope. So a nasty race for punter to conclude with. I'd probably just stick Catchy Lass into my each-way thieve bets with one or two horses I mentioned early on in the card.
Okay, let's go through those that you mentioned earlier on in the card then, Andy. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections one more time.
Okay, political policy has to be the vote in the first race, although do keep your eye on the money in the direction, if indeed there is any money in the direction of the big cat. 6:15, hopefully might go the way of Not Your Call. Should get the race set up by Master of Time going off in front. The clash of the night is in the 6:45 between Lone Star and Flare of Firelight. I'll go with David Watchman's filly to come out on top. 7:15, I'll go with Iron Major each way there, around about the 11-2 mark. Then we get onto the real nasty stuff in mid card. 7:45, no strong view, hence the fact I'm going for Elusive Gent at a big price. And similar comments apply to the 8:15 in a race which I'm going to go for the solid Reniot. My nap of the night is the Ring of King in the 8:45. Hopefully he'll get the race run to suit like he did last week. And in the final race, Catchy Lass each way looks the obvious cop-out bet in the final race.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck with your selections this evening, and enjoy the action in Dundalk.
Will do. Cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.